are going to discover 10 ways for parents to survive an empty nest this hour. And maybe you have some ideas, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 27th. We are a few weeks into the new college semester. Did you see your child off to college this fall? How's it going for you as a new empty nester? Are you worried, lonely, bored? Or are you enjoying the newfound freedom and time that you have? Let us know your questions and your coping strategies at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Lou Hamilton, an artist, creative life coach, author, and writer who recently wrote the article, 10 Ways for Parents to Survive an Empty Nest, for The Guardian. Her latest book is Brave New Girl, How to Be Fearless. Good morning.
Hi, Joy.
Thanks for being with us. Well, first of all, what inspired you to write about the empty nest syndrome?
Well, my daughter has just gone off to university 2 weeks ago now, and I've been thinking about it for a couple of years because my son left 2 years ago to go to university. And I knew that when he left, I had a feeling that I was going to feel the empty nest syndrome. And so I started to prepare myself and put things in place to sort of help myself along the way. And that's when I started to draw Brave New Girl. And as the time approached for Ruby to go out into the big wide world, The Guardian approached me and asked me whether I would like to do an article.
Yeah. So Brave New Girl is not advice for empty nesters. That's advice for your daughter?
Yep. It was partly for her, partly for me. I think that slight sort of sense of fear of your children going out into the world and you can no longer sort of protect them in the same way that you could. And when I started to sort of think about those kind of thoughts, I started doodling and one day out popped this little character, Brave New Girl, and she sort of took on her life of her own and how to be fearless. And it sort of became a sort of a guide for life that I then gave to Ruby when she left to go to university.
But as you mentioned, it was for her, but you took some advice from it too.
Yes. Brave New Girl is for all of us, and she sort of does her own thing. But I learned from her too.
Yeah. Well, I'd talk a little bit about how you were feeling. You were anticipating this day. What was going through your mind? Well, how were you feeling?
Yeah, I think it's we get on very well, me and my children, and I knew that there would be a sense of loss. They were great fun to have around the house, and we'd have long conversations, and they'd come back from school or for being out, and we'd sit on the sofa and have a chat, or Ruby and I would just do our makeup together, and I knew that I would miss those times, but also knowing that I was going to have to learn to sort of let go, and if I'd done my job properly, they want to go and they need to go out and do their own thing in the big wide world. And so it's a sort of lots of mixed feelings, I think.
Yeah. And what do you think parents struggle with the most when their children leave the nest?
Well, I think for everybody it's different, but I've talked to people and that I've sort of gathered a lot of support from friends who are going through similar things and other people who, parents who are a bit further along. I think one of the big things is that fear for their safety. When they're living at home and when they're little, you feel like you can protect them a bit more easily. But when they're out there, it feels a bit more scary. So I think that's one of the big things, but also missing their company and knowing that, in a way, the sort of emotional umbilical cord is is separating and that your relationship will be different in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, and in fact, I wanted to do something on the empty nest syndrome because some of my friends and even family were about to go through this or were dreading this with the start of the school year. And it's something that even if you're if you think you did a good job, even if you're, you think your child is ready for to meet the world, and you know that now, hey, you have a little bit more time to do some things, you still feel, you feel a loss of some sort.
Yeah, I think you've spent upwards of 20 years raising two people for adulthood, and your life is very much geared around doing that, and so you know that you're going to be facing a different role, a new era in your life, and any new era, can be exciting, but also quite scary.
We are talking about the empty nest syndrome, and more specifically, what parents can do to cope with or to survive the empty nest syndrome, with our guest Lou Hamilton, who wrote an article, 10 Ways for Parents to Survive an Empty Nest, for The Guardian. And we are welcoming your coping strategies. We're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your thoughts on what's the worst thing or what's the best thing about an empty nest. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Maybe you're going through this right now. Maybe you've already gone through it and have some advice for others. Marcia on Facebook says, "Was I prepared for life after kids? You better believe it. I had scads of friends in the same situation, and not one of them was unprepared for the empty nest, except for knowing how hard it was going to be." Aww. So talk a little bit about the challenges that parents experience. I mean, is it hard for you, Lou?
I think that, yes, it's. I'm missing Ruby a lot. It's hard being away from her. Obviously, in her first couple of weeks, she's had a few wobbles, and so, you can't swoop down and save them. So there's sort of, you're learning to parent from a distance and in a slightly different way. So I think that's quite challenging. I think your listener was absolutely right that preparation is key. And I started a couple of years ago, as I say, and so I really sort of felt like I was putting things in place ready for when my youngest was ready to go. And I think also it tends to come at a time in the middle of your life. So it's also a good time to kind of reassess and think, okay, so I'm halfway through. How do I want to spend the second half of my life?
Yeah. You mentioned that your daughter had a few wobbles. You told my producer, Nyasia Ellison, that your daughter recently called you from her university in tears, feeling very lonely herself. I mean, that's hard to do from a distance, isn't it, to console someone who's homesick?
It is, and also for them to feel that they aren't totally reliant on you to comfort them. So I try and comfort her in a way that gives her some strategies to do when she comes off the phone. So things like I suggested to her that she could write down three things at the end of each day that she felt that she had achieved, that had been good. It's quite easy to only think about the sort of scary stuff that's happening and things that aren't going well. So sort of being able to, feeling that I'm able to give her strategies that help her cope when I'm not there also help me.
Yeah. We have just a minute before a news break. Maybe prime the pump a little bit with, it's not all sad and lonely and worry. There are some positive parts or aspects of an empty nest, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. This is a new time in your life, and there are lots of new possibilities and opportunities. It's a chance to reassess and look at your relationships at home and with your children. That's going to be a different kind of relationship. There's more time for friends. Yes, there's lots and lots of benefits.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about the benefits and the downside of the empty nest. And we'll welcome your questions and your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. First, the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with the author of the article, 10 Ways for Parents to Survive an Empty Nest. We thought this would be a good time to do this, as many of you are going through the empty nest syndrome, sending your children off to college, or maybe they moved out of the home for another reason. How's that going for you? What are the advantages, or what are the drawbacks? How are you doing? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Lou Hamilton is our guest. She wrote this article on surviving an empty nest for The Guardian. She is also the author of Brave New Girl, How to Be Fearless. And Jolene and Nina is with us with, I believe, an advantage to having an empty nest. Hi, Jolene.
Hi. Yeah, my husband and I found a great advantage. The electricity bill and the water bill went down, and so did the food bill. We could buy something, put in the refrigerator, and when we wanted it, it was there.
I like that. So that kind of was an advantage and got you over missing the kids, that you actually could eat your food, huh?
Exactly.
And some of your tips are a little bit tongue in cheek, Lou. That is an advantage, huh? I mean, it's your house, and the bills might be a little bit lower.
Yeah, and I think it's a great way to approach it, with a bit of humor and a reality check on, there are advantages. You don't have to share the remote control with your teenagers any longer. The bills go down. There's just two adults in the house rather than your children and all their friends and all their mess. So, yes, there's lots of advantages.
Yeah. In fact, your first tip is funny. Don't advertise the nearly departed's room on Airbnb until they have actually left. Now, you didn't really do that, did you?
No, I didn't. I sort of started to think about, that it could be a possibility. And of course, my daughter was mortally offended and put out, thinking that, I was turfing her out far too soon. And I had to reassure her that, her room will always be there and her things will be safe. And I think it's important not to feel that they're sort of being pushed out. But, there is that advantage that, when you have, you might have a spare room when your offspring have left, and there's no harm in making a bit of extra cash if that's a possibility for you.
Yeah, there you go. That certainly is. And you mentioned that you do, you can reclaim the remote control, because when you were with the kids at home, they had control. You did not.
There would be times, let's say, when there were things that they wanted to watch that we might not necessarily have been that interested in. But it's give and take, isn't it? And so you're only than now arguing with one other person over what to watch rather than four or five.
That's true. And it's give and take in that they're not hogging the remote control, but you also don't have in-home technical support, when which can be an issue. I know I don't have children, but my niece showed my husband recently how to download music and how to use Spotify and how to use iTunes. You know, and that's something that it doesn't come naturally to some of us.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely technically challenged, and so my in-house tutors have now disappeared, and. So I did actually sort of get them to kind of show me how to do things in the lead up to them leaving. So I think it's good to be prepared on all sorts of levels. But also things like that, you know, we're laughing, but actually that's quite a good way of helping them help you make the transition and for them to realize that, you know, it is a process, and it's a process for them as much as it is for you. And they might be feeling a little up and down about it and a little nervous. So the fact that you can sort of do something together in preparation, there's something rather nice about that, I think.
Our next caller is John in Boaz. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm glad we're talking about this, because us good parents can share and care about the devastation, the loss, and the loneliness. Well, my son just came to visit after 5 years, and it was such a good reunion. But I need to accept the fact that he is doing fine, and he wants to be independent.
Yeah.
I just can say that I recommend being available always to answer the phone at any time of the day if they want to talk.
Right. And so this is a reunion. You've had an empty nest for a while, but you hadn't been in contact, John, with your son, or he hasn't been home in 5 years, you say.
Yeah, I feel that he was trying to strengthen his wings, so to speak.
Yeah.
In other words, being a male, he wanted to show that he didn't need his father anymore.
Yeah, you know, that's thank you, John, for calling. That's it's one thing to have, you know, your child go off to college, but then when your child is an adult and off on his or her own as an adult, you might not be in as close of contact with them. Lou, what thoughts do you have on that?
Yeah, I think that's right, and I mean we do live in an age now where it's possible to be more in contact if that. Right for both of you. I think also some young people do feel that they need to sort of learn to cope on their own, to feel strong, to feel independent before they can come back. I think there's a sort of natural built-in mechanism in us to push away a bit as when we're young, in order to find our feet, find our wings, and then to be able to come back as adults.
Yeah. Any thoughts on whether we heard from John, who was missing his son. How about, does the empty nest syndrome affect men and women differently, do you think?
I think, obviously I can only speak as a mother, but I know that, you know, my children's father misses the children, but he's also feels proud that they've been able to sort of go out there and do their thing. I think there's maybe a slightly different relationship between me and my daughter. You know, we're sort of friends, and so we've spent a lot of time, you know, just sort of chatting and doing makeup and things together, that sort of, you know, and shopping. And so that kind of thing, I think, is you feel the loss of that sort of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for all parents, there's a sense of sort of, you know, that it's a changing time, and that's always something that you sort of have to rise to that challenge, don't you?
Yeah. You know, John mentioned about having, you know, always being ready for that contact and always, you know, answer the phone. You do mention in your 10 Ways for Parents to Survive an Emptiness that it is maybe okay that you can turn off your mobile phone at night, maybe because you're not expecting, do you truly do that? Are you able to turn off the phone at night, not waiting for that call to, I don't know, come pick me up somewhere?
I wish I could. No, I still have it on. but I think that, you know, I know that, you know, it's early days for me still and for her. And I think, you know, once she really finds her feet, then she won't be needing that access to me as much as maybe in the last couple of weeks. And you know that it's not going to be sort of, you know, you're not on call 24/7 in the way that you were, as, you know, when the children are at home, but you know, I think your caller John is absolutely right that you sort of have to be a long distance parent and supporting from afar and knowing that they know that you're always there for them.
Yeah, I don't know. Things are I think different today. I think this is, you know, parents have a closer or different anyway relationship with their children than. I, for example, had with my parents. I mean, we were very close and loving, but once I went off to college, it was a long distance collect call, you know, to call home, and so it was rare. It was really rare that happened. We didn't have, and I think now, looking at my family, my sister, for example, that they're in contact all the time. They're texting probably daily. I mean, so it's a much, at least they're communicating more frequently than we did when I was in college. So any recommendations or tips when it comes to how much you should talk or be in contact with your children who are at college?
Yeah, I think it should be led by them. And they sort of, you know, they're very tech savvy and they're happy to FaceTime and use mobile and text and Facebook but I think that they tend to lead it, and certainly with my daughter and my son, I make sure that they know that I'm here if they need me, but they feel like it's sort of up to them to call me and it's sort of, and they're leading it rather than me pestering them or stalking them.
We are talking with Lou Hamilton. She's an artist, a creative life coach, an author. She wrote an article for The Guardian, 10 Ways for Parents to Survive an Empty Nest. And we are talking about those various ideas on how to cope with your child leaving home to go to college or maybe getting married or something else. Are you an empty nester? Are you going through the empty nest syndrome? Have you gone through this already? Maybe you have some suggestions on how to cope. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we're also having a little bit of fun on some of the benefits of having an empty nest. What are the advantages and disadvantages of an empty nest, of being having the house to yourself? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Brandy on Facebook says, I feel bad for those housewives who love their identity of mom so much that they haven't prepared for life after kids. Well, luckily, she thinks more and more have hobbies now, and that is, you know, that they have a life beyond kids. Well, first of all, that actually brings up a couple of different things for me. Lou, you are not one of those housewives who love your identity of mom so much that you haven't prepared for life after kids. You're not that, are you?
No, I have prepared. I was hugely identified myself as a mom and absolutely loved that. I did try and keep my own work going through through the whole through the 20 years. So, but I was self-employed, so I was able to be at home, you know, when they got back from school and things. But I absolutely get that that sense of identity and that loss of identity or change of identity. And I think it's important to acknowledge that there is a sense of sadness and loss and a little bit like grieving. You know, it's a process that you go through. And I think by acknowledging it, acknowledging that that is something real, and that you will have some ups and downs, that you then realise that, well, I need to sort of gather some support around me and you know, find other mums who are going through the same thing, other friends.
Yeah.
You know, it is just a case of putting up and getting on with it and trying to be positive all the time. You know, you will go through ups and downs.
Yeah, I guess I was getting at is that I know the empty nesters that I know today are women who, you know, work full time outside the home and like to travel and have all sorts of other interests, but they are still losing that. They're changing. It's a phase of life that's changing, and they're with their child moving out of the house. There's a big adjustment there. You don't have to just be. You know, a mom who does not work outside the home to go through empty nest syndrome.
I think that's absolutely right, and it's a shift for everybody, for all parents, and for the youngsters too.
Yeah, but when it comes to her saying that more and more have hobbies now, you do recommend that. That empty nesters do things like dance as if no one is watching, and take up some things that maybe you didn't have time to take up. You know, reboot your creative prowess. So talk some about that and why that's an important thing to do.
Yeah, I think parenting is a hugely creative process, and I think you know from finger painting with your kids to making Easter egg bonnets and building ramps and fixing air kit models and. You know, there's so many things that you do as a parent that's creative through those decades, and so that can be a massive gap when they leave, and so it's worth looking at things that help to channel that creativity and help you to feel like you're accessing that still and that side of your life. Dancing like no one is watching. You know, you've spent a lot of time pleasing others, and this is your time now, and you can do all sorts of things without being self-conscious and worrying that your kids are going to find you so embarrassing.
As they always do.
Yeah.
In the minute before we have another news break, did you take up, you are an artist and such, I mean, but so are you concentrating a little bit more on your creative prowess now that Ruby has flown the coop?
Well, it was interesting because I was working as a full-time artist before the children were born, and then that sort of shifted into making films, and so less sort of hands-on creativity for myself while they were growing up, and when I was sort of beginning to think fearfully about, you know, this new change in my life and new era, I found myself thinking, oh, I really want to start drawing again, and it came about the time that. I don't know if it's the same in America, but there's this massive craze for colouring in. And I thought, well, I shouldn't be colouring in other people's work since I used to be an artist. How about starting to draw again? And so I got myself a pencil and a piece of paper and started to do sort of abstract patterns and doodles. And then sort of slowly out of that, you know, came this brave new girl.
We are talking with Lou Hamilton. She is the author of Brave New Girl, How to Be Fearless, but also wrote the article 10 Ways for Parents to Survive an Empty Nest. So how are you surviving your empty nest if you have one? 1-800-642-1234. We are talking about the empty nest and how parents can survive an empty nest. Are you an empty nester now? Did your perhaps a last child at home go off to college this fall? How's that working for you? What are the advantages and disadvantages of the empty nest? And what are you doing now to kind of cope with that big house and more time? At least you're not 24/7 with your child at home. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We had a listener who said take up some hobbies, and our guest agrees with that. Lou Hamilton is an artist, a creative life coach, and author. She wrote the article, 10 Ways for Parents to Survive an Empty Nest, for The Guardian. We have posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And one of her tips, reboot your creative prowess. Hitherto channeled into 19 years of finger painting, making Easter egg bonnets, princess costumes, building evil Knievel ramps, painting Hello Kitty and Spider-Man webs on bedroom walls, you know, for your kids. Now she says it's time for you to flare into more adult creative pursuits, such as mindful doodling or releasing your inner disco diva. So have you taken up a new hobby? Are you becoming more creative? What would you like to do with your empty nest time? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What did you do once the kids left home that you didn't have time to do before? So we have an open line for you. I'm a little bit surprised, as I have noticed a lot of friends and family on Facebook talking about their newly acquired empty nest and what they were going to do with their time. What are you doing with your time? Or maybe you've gone through this before and you have some advice. Casey in New London did call in to say that she is a mother of teens. She's not an empty nester yet, Lou, but she is really... she's already worried about whether they're going to be successful. Will they get a good job? Will they be able to pay their bills? I mean, she's going through this. She doesn't have an empty nest now, and she's worried about the future success of her kids. Any advice for her?
Yeah, I think that that's something that a lot of parents worry about, and I think that it's about trusting yourself that you're doing a good job as a parent, and you're doing what you need to do to help them prepare for when they leave home, so that they know how to be independent and keep safe and make good choices and decisions, know their own values, what matters to them, and to follow through on that, to trust themselves. But I think as parents, it's really important to feel that you're doing the best job you possibly can, and that you're not just preparing yourself for their departure, but you're preparing them too.
Yeah. Mark emails, I have spent the last 6 years preparing my son to be on his own. Now that he is gone, I am struggling, especially because he doesn't feel the same need to stay in touch. But it is good that he is just as independent as I was at his age. It is also karma, since I was the same way with my dad. The song Cats in the Cradle is true. Aw. But maybe it sounds like Mark is taking some solace in that he knows that his son is independent and strong and can make it on his own.
Yeah, and I think that, as parents, our job is sort of almost built in obsolescence. If we've done it right, they sort of don't need us anymore. And that can be a struggle in that letting go, and I think it's more sort of painful for us than for the youngsters. If we've done it right, they should be off and doing their own things. And it's a time for us slowly, gradually over the next few years to start reinventing what that relationship might look like, and how being in relationship with your offspring as adults, how that can be different, but in a positive way, and something that sort of brings value to both of your lives.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit too about the general tip that you have: give yourself a well-earned break. I mean, yeah, why not? Talk some about you deserve it. You don't you say what to go on a vacation? What do you mean by the well-earned break?
Something that gives you a good pat on the back. You know, as parents, we don't get a big trophy at the end of these decades of doing a good job. You know, it's a massive undertaking, raising kids and taking them through to adulthood. And it's something that, you know, it's a great achievement. And you know, there is no kind of reward at the end of it, other than the fact that, you know, you've done it and you've got them there. But I think that there's something to be said in recognizing the fact that you have done a good job, and that you earned, that you deserve something in acknowledgement of that. And, you know, I think it's always best if you acknowledge it yourself, and that might be a holiday. You know, if you're renting out your your kid's room, then maybe you can afford to have a bit of a break or a nice day out. I dropped Ruby off in her university, and then I went and spent a few days in a cottage. I'd rented out our flat and just spent a few days in a cottage painting and writing, and I sort of felt like I needed to lick my wounds and kind of face the feelings that I was feeling. And that was a really good thing to do. I came back to London feeling stronger and better and sort of ready to start over.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go next to Emma in Brooklyn. Hi, Emma.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, go on with your story.
Oh, sure. I just wanted to give a different perspective on an empty nester. We actually replaced our empty nester with a geriatric, which has been quite wonderful. My 91-year-old mother, Mary, came to live with us last year in November. And prior to that, our sons graduated in 2007 and had very busy athletic lives. And so I think we all just took a collective breath and relaxed and spent a couple years just regrouping and going out to our family farm and hunting and spending time with my mom. And then as we saw the need, she fell in October of 2015 and decided that she had lived in the rural Sauk County area much too long and wanted to go into a facility. And after we visited a couple, my husband and I talked about it and said, she's going to come live with us. And it's been wonderful to have a multi-generational household. We have the neighbors who have three sons and a daughter, which is what my mother raised with my father, and they come over for cookies and milk with Granny Mary, and it's just so much fun to see her flourishing and happy and content, and I get so many comments from people that that's such a wonderful thing that you're doing, and I look at them like, well, of course, it's a given. Of course I would take my mother. Why wouldn't I? And I just think that so many people feel uncomfortable having an older parent in the home that does need more attention, and when she starts questioning things at 8 o'clock at night when she's tired and needs to go to bed, my husband jokes that it's a 6-year-old Jordan asking question after question after question.
Yeah.
So it's just been a wonderful experience, and I'm quite happy to be doing this. So.
Well, there's one way to survive an empty nest is that maybe you don't have an empty nest. You have your mom come live with you, or something else, Lou.
I think that's a lovely story, and it's also you know, for us parents that are empty nesters at the moment, that gives us a sort of optimistic, positive thing to look forward to in the future, that we get to go and live with our kids.
Yeah,
when we're old.
And you know, I also know those who have taken in like exchange students, and you know, so they at least took on another young person in the house, but it wasn't their own kid. So there's an idea. And,
yeah.
You know, Emma was mentioning, she didn't say it on the air, but she mentioned to my producer that once their sons graduated and left the home before mom came in, that she and her husband used the time to go to reconnect and go out on date nights. I know you didn't mention this in your piece, but it, you know, what about couples focusing on their own relationship when there's an empty nest?
I think there's a huge advantage to having your home to yourself again, and to relook at your relationship and find sort of all sorts of ways to kind of reboot it and have fun and rediscover each other again. I think it's, you know, it's a really exciting time if you can see it like that.
Yeah. And finally, the one tip that you have in your piece that we didn't talk about, kick off your stilettos. So what are we going to do then?
I think that's about just really sort of sitting back and looking back on the times that you've had, all those fantastic, happy times that, you know, you've shared together as family and enjoying that. And, you know, you've done your job, you can sit back, maybe put together an album of photographs of all the sort of happy times you've had together. And I think a really good thing to do is to create a vision board for the future, something that, you know, getting pictures and putting together something that you can look to the future as well as enjoying the memories of the past.
Yeah, just a minute to go. So what's your takeaway for our listeners?
I think that to understand that it's a real balance. You know, you're there to support them from a distance. You know, if they've flown the nest, then, you know, you've done your job. To really sort of acknowledge that you've done a great job by doing that. And to also recognize that, you know, it might be an up and down journey for a while, and maybe to just document that, journal it, write those feelings down, and know that it's a process that you're going to go through, and that from everybody that I've talked to who's a little bit further down the line than where I am right now, they all say that it gets better and better, and you build a relationship in a completely different way.
Thank you very much, Lou Hamilton. She is the author of Brave New Girl, How to Be Fearless. This is the Ideas Network.